morning, church family. Our reading today is going to be Matthew 13, 1 through 9. And I was able to do this because I won a game at bingo. So this is what you get to do. Thank you. Okay, Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Bingo. Good job, Ren. Everybody gets all excited at bingo, and they always say, the prize this time is reading scripture on Sunday. And everybody, oh, no, I don't. Ren, you got skills. Thank you. It's kind of nice we've been praying in a lot of people like that God is using to bless this church. And you see it with Perry, the first time doing the elder announcements, great job. Hopefully you guys can tell this is somebody who is God has blessed to teach and to learn and help give some wisdom and discernment. And he's been a real blessing to this church. And I'll throw a plug out there for Wednesday nights. Perry's helping lead our Bible study here at 6 o'clock. And what a great study. They're not complicated, they're not deep, but boy, they reveal God to us and his plan of reconciliation for all of us, 6 o'clock. So if you get a chance, come on out. I've learned from that every week. And then other folks we've prayed in here too that are just awesome to see show up. Pam, you do great, lady. Wow, what a blessing. But anyway, hi again. Good morning, Imperfect Church family. We say that every week, right? It's always a good reminder to acknowledge that we've got our own shortcomings and we all need a Savior, and there's nothing we can do to get saved on our own. We rely totally on Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And he is the one who is perfect, not us. And it's always good to remind ourselves that, because it helps till the soil of our hearts, right? It helps prepare for receiving the seed, the good seed of the word. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk a little bit about farming and tilling soil as part of our parables. And as I mentioned in Pine Grove, I'm familiar with farming. Most of you know that I grew up on a dairy farm. I have some farm knowledge already. I'm not some city guy. I got boots. You know, for example, dairy farmers, when they're milking cows, do you know what they're thinking about? Utter nonsense. Yeah. You know why cows have hooves? Because they lactose. Yeah, those bombed in Pine Grove this morning too. Those were not good. All right, that's not why we're here. Well, what'd you say? Let's move on. All right. Let's move on. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful group of people who just want to come together and learn today. And Lord, and love on each other as we learn and we love on you. And I pray, Father, that you open our hearts to this message today and that it can be a convicting one. Lord, we don't want to just hear the words, but we want them to take root and have them result in actions in our lives. And so, Father, I pray that you give us these eyes to see and the ears that will hear this as we listen to the wisdom and the principle that you reveal in this story. It's in Jesus' name that we ask this. Amen. 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 Well, last week we said we're getting into parable summer. And as a reminder, these parables, there's some of these short relatable kind of stories that Jesus used to teach in order to simplify, to try to bring some understanding to some kingdom concepts, things like forgiveness and mercy and real divine love, being prepared for the return of the master, all of these wonderful kingdom concepts. Jesus often used these parables, and he did this because he wanted to take people from what they knew as the natural physical world, the one where the law resided in, and move them into the spiritual, and move them into the supernatural. And that's where these parables were just great for doing this. And it's all about revealing these kingdom concepts, things that can seem so overwhelming, but if we start with a basic foundation of what we know, and we let that parable take us into the concept, Jesus used these things masterfully, and if it worked for them back then, it should be wonderful for us to work on those today. And today we're going to get into the parable of the four soils. Matthew 13, four soils. Go and get your Bibles opened up there. Matthew 13. That's how you guys keep me honest. Follow along there. Matthew 13, and we'll let God move us into the supernatural truth, hopefully, today. Now, this parable, it's a lot like the parable that we talked about last week, the Good Samaritan. It's similar in that it lays out the conditions for getting into the kingdom of God. That's really what it all comes down to. With the Good Samaritan, we talked about it last week. Christ, he answered this question from an expert in the law, a lawyer. Everybody loves lawyers, right? 99% of lawyers give the rest of them a bad name. This expert in the law, he asks this question. He says, hey, Jesus, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? What must I do? And Christ answered in this parable saying, well, if you want to earn your way into the kingdom, what must I do? If you want to earn your way in, well, then you must love in a way that you are humanly impossible of doing, like the Good Samaritan. This lawyer asked a question in the flesh, accordance with the law, so Jesus gave him an answer in accordance with the flesh, in accordance with the law. You must be perfect in the way that you love God. You must be absolutely perfect in the way that you love everybody, even your blood enemies. And of course, as we mentioned up front, every single one of us here is imperfect. And so our only hope of inheriting the kingdom comes through the grace of God. It comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. That's how you get in the kingdom. In our parable today, it's really about that same kingdom truth again. However, this story explains to us the type of heart that is required, the type of soil that you must have to receive the seed of truth, the gospel. So what kind of dirt are you? It's a good family-loving question there. What kind of dirt are you? I'm not calling everybody a dirtbag, I promise that. What kind of dirt are you? So let's get into this. For your backstory, look back just a couple paragraphs here. Look back in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 46. This sets up the scene for when Jesus tells this story. Matthew 12, verse 46. Give me a Yahoo if you're there. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, he's in the house now, by the way, teaching his disciples. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Church family. This is my church family, he's saying. Chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables. So maybe you can picture this here. Jesus, he's doing a lot of teaching, especially with the disciples, but there is a lot of people that want to hear him. And you can just picture when he's sitting in this house, all the crowds that have gathered around outside, and they're so thick that his brothers and his mom are pushed to the back. They can't get in to get a word to him. You can picture people crowding into the windows, and they're crowding in the door frames, and they want to hear this one who is teaching with authority. And eventually, he moves out of the house, and he heads down to the shoreline on the Sea of Galilee, and just picture that massive crowd that is following him. And so in order for them to see him, in order for them to hear him, he gets in the little boat, and he pushes offshore just a little ways. Now everyone can see what he's saying. They can hear what he's saying. And if you've ever been by there, if you see it today, you'll know this is some beautiful countryside right there on the seashore. Beautiful countryside. Today there's still a lot of agriculture. There's a lot of fields that grow there, make it this lush green. All of that surrounds the area. And so you can picture them from this vantage point. You know, they might have been able to look out and see some workers actually working in the fields. They might have been able to look out and see some Galilean farmer. And you can picture him there with all his long robes. And he would have girded them up. You know, he'd tied them up. And picture him, he's got this big purse-looking thing slinged across his shoulder, a big leather pouch. And it's jammed full of seeds. And he'll reach in and grab handfuls and just throw them out in these big, wide arcs. Everybody picture that? Tell your neighbor, I can picture that. All right, here he is. He's throwing all this seed out, these big, wide arcs of seed going everywhere. And off in the distance, you see his pretty green John Deere tractor, and he's got this big red International combine.
And a red lawnmower.
And a red lawnmower, like, well, no, he didn't have that. Of course, they didn't have those back then. But anybody that's farmed or worked the dirt, just imagine tilling up an entire field with hand tools. There's all this lush, colored soil ready to receive this seed. And you can picture him tossing all this out. Well, the people would have understood this. That's their natural physical that they experience and live every day. So Jesus takes this and he's going to take him into the supernatural. He goes over these four soils. Let's look at this first one, verse 3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So in this physical, natural world, Christ, again, he's describing these four different soils, and here's the first one. He's talking about the path. And maybe your Bible says the road. The path or the road. And this is that dirt. If you can picture all these people back then, you know, they're traveling around on foot. Maybe they're traveling on a donkey. They didn't have a horse. They didn't have motorcycles or cars. But everything is traveled on foot. And there were these paths that skirted the edges of the fields where hundreds and hundreds of people would be walking across it. And there'd be some paths that went 2 or 3 foot wide, these narrow paths that went from one field to the other so the farmer could access his entire farm. But you can imagine those. They're narrow little 2 to 3 foot wide paths, and they would have been compacted down and trampled and hardened just like concrete. And you imagine this sower, as he's broadcasting all the seed out, as he's throwing it, some of it's going to land on that hard dirt. And that's where the birds come in, and that's easy pickings for the seeds. Can you picture them kind of swarming overhead, right? Anybody been to the beach and got into that with seagulls? Never done that. Next time you're at the beach, bring a French fry and throw one out. And here they come. And within 30 seconds, you don't want to look up, right? Those gulls are up there talking to each other in seagull language. Pilot the bombardier. Drop bombs, bombardier. But you can picture that in the story, right? Here's the birds. They're overhead as the sowers tossing all this seed out. Concrete, hard path. That's the first soil. Now look at the second one, verse 5. Some fell on some rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. This is the second type, the rocky places. The rocky soil. And don't just think about the occasional rock that would get turned up by a plow here, but this is Palestine. And there's a lot of places out there where there's these rock sheets, these big rock shelves, and they're covered up with just maybe a couple inches of soil. And you can look at that and you think the soil is really good, but you only go down a couple inches and you hit that impenetrable rock. And again, a lot of the people back then, they would have been familiar with that. They'd have been digging back there. And so this seed, it might sprout up quickly, but the roots can't reach deep enough to get the nutrients, to get the living water that it needs to survive. And so the sun comes up, the plants get scorched, they wither and they die. That's the second type of soil. Then he gets to number three. Look at verse 7. We'll explain these in a minute. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. That's the next one. Thorny soil, weedy soil. Anybody got a garden? That's my soil. The weeds just thrive in this natural world. Did you notice that? You got to work hard to make the good stuff grow. Thorny soils full of weeds. That good seed, it might sprout up initially. It might start to develop roots, but the life-killing thorns and the weeds steal the water. They crowd out the sun. And then these plants, too, they get choked out and they wither and die. And then finally, Christ tells about the one last soil. Look at verse 8. Still other seeds fell on good soil. Good soil, and it produced a crop, 160, 30 times what was sown. Good soil. Good soil, and Christ uses this great exaggeration, this great hyperbole to make this point of just how productive and how fruitful that good soil can be. 100 times more, 60 times, 30 times. On the low end, it's 30 times the usual harvest. How about that, farmers? You talk to Jean. Jean gets, let's say she's got 20 bins of cherries that she gets off this particular spot, 20 bins. Well, according to Christ's example, that normal 20 bins, she'd be getting about, 5,000 bins of it. She'd get 3,000 bins of it. Even on the low end, she'd only get 1,500 compared to 50. So Christ is saying here, if the soil is truly good soil, imagine what I can do with it. Imagine what I can do for that. Four soils. One's hard, one's rocky, one's full of weeds and thorns, and one is unimaginably, it's fruitful and productive. And then Jesus, he finishes the story, he throws out a little barb, he says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Whoever's capable of understanding, let them understand. Here's your parable. Go make sense of it. You know, he could have said, I have revealed to you the gospel of salvation and the threat of the evil one and the suffering and the persecution of this world and the fruits of the Spirit from my elect. I just reveal all that to you. Did you catch it? That's what he's asking. Did you hear it? And I started earlier with a reminder that the intent of these parables, these teaching tools, their intent is to reveal these kingdom truths to those who are willing and receptive to receiving them. But that's not their only purpose. Christ also used these things to conceal the truth, to hide the truth from those who rejected him. He used parables to hide the truth from those who denied him. There'd be no revelation, there'd be no understanding, there's no spiritual breakthroughs for those who felt threatened by Christ, for those who ignored him, for those who would not surrender to Christ. They're intended for those who are receptive and willing to receive his word. Look at verse 10, he explains this here. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And then he talks about the prophecy that talked about this from Isaiah, verse 14. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts in turn. And for those who are receptive and do that, look how he finishes. And I would heal them. For the willing, But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but didn't see it. To hear what you hear, but did not hear it. The prophets of old, who would have loved to see the Messiah, who would have loved to hear the Messiah preach. I kind of feel that same way. I don't think I would have liked living back then, but man, I would have loved to have been around Jesus Christ and listened to him preach. He's telling the disciples, you get that blessing. And brothers and sisters, for those who truly and willingly and repentantly accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the ones who pursue holiness while living in this fallen and broken world, for them, their eyes will be opened and their hearts will be filled, and they will know real hope and real eternal joy. For everybody else, there's going to be this inability to understand because of their unwillingness to receive the good news. I once heard this pastor, a pretty well-known pastor, he once was invited, he was told this story, he was invited to speak on this college panel, and they wanted to talk about religion. So they invited him to give Christianity's perspective. And also on that panel was an atheist and a humanist and an agnostic. And the pastor, he got the invite and he simply said no. And so they asked him, well, why not? And he's pretty straightforward. He says, because you're unable to understand. You have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears, but you can't hear. I can spend hours explaining some deep eternal truths to you, but you will never get it. You can't understand that. And that only happens when the Holy Spirit calls you and you respond with an open and a repentant heart. Four soils. Got ahead of myself there. Four soils. You'll notice it's a simple story, right? There's only three elements to the story. You got the sower, you got the seed, and you got the soil, right? So who's the sower? Look over to verse 37. Stay in chapter 13. Jesus tells another parable here. It's one that we're going to talk about in a couple weeks. Verse 37, similar parable. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. He tells us outright, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The original sower of the good seed, the good news, the news of salvation, the very first original preacher to preach this was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. The very first to preach that message of the good seed. And since then, he's got some hired hands to continue the work. He's hired some other sowers, and guess what? If you're his, if you are a regenerated Christian, then you are a sower of good seed. You're a farmer. Tell your neighbor, I'm a farmer. Tell your other neighbor, I sow good seed. And you don't even have to get your hands dirty. How cool is that? You're a farmer. Anyone who shares the gospel, anybody who talks about salvation by grace, faith that is obtained only through Jesus Christ, anybody who shares that is a sower. Next element is the seed. Well, what's the seed? Christ goes on to explain here. Look at 18, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. So the sower is the one who is sharing the seed. The seed then is that message about the kingdom. The message about the kingdom. What's the message? Again, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the one who gave his life on the cross at Calvary in order to pay for the sins of his elect. He did that in order that we might be reconciled to the Father and we might receive eternal life. You're all looking like, is that mo better? The seed is the message. Hopefully you noticed it in this story, by the way. Hopefully you noticed that neither the germination of the seed or the success of the plant or the yield of the crops, none of that was reliant on the sower. None of that was dependent on the seed itself. whether the seed took root and flourished and produced a crop, or it died and it withered away, that was solely dependent on the third element, which is what? The soil. Totally dependent on the soil. And brothers and sisters, the soil refers to the condition of your heart. How receptive are you to receiving the good seed? What kind of dirt are you? That's what it boils down to. Well, Jesus explains those again. Verse 19 here, he starts going through and explains what all the soils are. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The soil refers to the condition of the heart. In this first example, we see what an unresponsive heart looks like. Unresponsive. This is someone who is a denier of Christ. Someone whose heart is hardened by sin. There's no softening to the truth. There's no conviction of the heart. There's no repentance. Mostly this is just someone who is in love with their sin and the iniquity of this fallen world. And they may have received the truth. They may have had it revealed to them in the gospel. They may have been to a church and heard the message. They may have had witnesses testify to them. Maybe they've had some life experiences that are just miraculous and they can only be explained by God's divine intervention. Those are good seeds. But none of that seed ever penetrates that rock-hard, concrete-hard soil of their heart. And so instead, the birds, the evil one, Satan comes along and he snatches away those truths. He does it through pride or doubt, selfishness, greed, procrastination, being enslaved to sin. That hardened, unresponsive soil of the heart, no life springs up from there. None. There's no yield. It's no hope. That's that first one. Now look at the next one. Look at verse 20. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Folks, this is what an impulsive heart looks like. Thorny, weedy soil. Impulsive. And I'm sure you've seen some people like this before. They're the flash in the pan type. They get attracted to the initial sugar and the lights and the sweetness of the faith, but that never goes past that. They move on to these things that they think are bigger and better, and they might have this initial enthusiasm when they hear the good news. Maybe they even confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Maybe they even get baptized. But these are the ones who are, they're drawn to the flowers and not in love with the entire plant all the way down to the roots. I don't know if you've heard of that analogy in relationships, but it works for us as far as our faith goes as well. You know, sometimes there's these couples and they have this initial attraction and they have this lust and this desire initially for each other. They fall for that beauty of the colorful flowers and they fall in love with the sweetness of their smell, but eventually autumn comes. Real life hits. Real life struggles come and the flowers fall off and they're left with nothing but branches and roots. And for those people that didn't love the plant all the way down to the roots, they fall away with the flowers. And folks, those real life challenges will come for you as a believer. Why? Look at verse 21. Let's look at what causes this about halfway through again. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Because of your faith, trouble or persecution comes from the word, they quickly fall away. There are real life challenges to our faith. But folks, if you remain steadfast and devout in your faith, you're eventually going to suffer for it. Go ahead and put a pew card in your Bible there. Turn back to Matthew 10. That's just a baby praising Jesus. We love that sound here. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
We love the babies here. Let the children come to me, right? Amen. Matthew 10, we're going to look at verse 34 here, talking about Jesus. He is this Savior of peace and the Savior of love, and he is a Savior of love. But the peace is coming. If you hold to your faith, listen to this, verse 34. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Everybody say that, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Folks, that's how deep and how devastating your faith can be to other people. Turn on back to your bookmark there. You may not be in prison for your faith. You may not be killed for your faith. You may not have your family reject you. But folks, if you hold fast to it in this world that hates God, eventually you're going to feel it. There'll be ridicule. There'll be unfair judgment. There's going to be loss of relationships. And only those whose roots run deep can survive the scorching heat of the attacks of that evil one. All right, the next soil, look at verse 22 now. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who's hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Folks, this is what a preoccupied heart looks like, a busy heart, a heart that's overwhelmed with the busyness of this world. And this person might be someone who is genuinely regenerated in Christ, but if Satan, if he can't snatch the truth from you, if he can't keep it shallow for you, then he's going to do whatever he can to keep you away from it, to put a barrier between you and your faith. Busyness through work, through school, through chasing after wealth, through chasing after worldly pleasures and experiences, for trying to conform to the world, to develop this worldly lifestyle. This is someone who's straddling the fence between the world and their faith and God. They're trying to play both sides, trying to hang on to what they desire in this world and the flesh while expecting to have the full rewards of this heavenly relationship with God the Father. And you can't do that. James tells us in his book, chapter 4, verse 4, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." The thorns here, the weeds here, these are those things that prevent you, that choke out your life in pursuit of Christ. And a lot of these folks, they're easy to spot too. You know, they'll come to church on Sunday, but only if there's nothing else going on. They'll spend hours on Facebook, but not 10 minutes reading their Bible. And they're holy and upright and righteous on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday, their faith is unrecognizable. Hard soil, shallow soil, thorny and weedy soil, unresponsive, impulsive, and preoccupied hearts. These are the ones who will not find the kingdom. And there are some theologians who will argue, well, maybe you got a chance with number two, and maybe you got a chance there with number three. But that's a pretty huge gamble. There's only one way that you are guaranteed that kingdom. Look at verse 23. "But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it." Someone who hears the word and is trying to understand it. Someone who hears the word and is studying and talking with others and going to church and studying, trying to understand it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Good soil. Well-prepared soil. It's talking about a well-prepared heart. In other words, it's a heart that's been plowed through repentance. It's been weeded through forgiveness. It's been worked and broken down by the labor of the Holy Spirit. It is ready to receive this life-giving seed of Jesus Christ. It's ready to produce the fruits of righteous living, the spiritual fruits, 160, 30 times over what was sown. And so I'll ask you once again, What kind of dirt are you? What kind of soil you got in your heart? And while you're objectively examining yourself about that, there's something else you should be doing that this parable infers. You need to make sure that you're also spreading some seed yourself. Don't be just flicking one seed out every once in a while. Don't be playing it safe. Grab an A seed. Well, you look like you won't yell at me, so here's a seed for you. You look okay. Here's one for you. Man, reach in that bag and start broadcasting those seeds by the handful. Fistful after fistful, toss that seed out. Be a good sower. And have a heart that is good soil. That's really what this parable is all about. And that's what we want to take to heart. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, you know we are fallen in the flesh. You know our human nature. And Father, I just pray that you open our eyes and you convict us to the soil of our hearts. And Lord, even if we are plowing the fields of our hearts, even if we have good soil there, we always have these tendencies to fall into these other categories. And so, Lord, I pray that you point those out in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you expose where we fall short. I pray for a softening of our hearts, Lord, and make us receptive to your word. Make us receptive to the good seeds. And then, Lord, prepare us as we go out and produce that mighty crop for you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Wow, appropriate sermon for communion. So much. But this communion is, like Pastor Doug said, it's where repentance meets the grace of God. If we come with repentant hearts, he is more than happy and even glorified to lavish his grace and mercy upon us. So I would like to read a scripture out of 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not judge the body rightly, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. I would like to ask that we would just take 30 seconds, examine our hearts, think about what he has done for us. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so intimately much for the grace, the mercy that we so do not deserve. But because of your great love, which you loved us, You've called us before the foundation of the world to be yours. You have lavished your mercy and your grace upon us. Help us to remember you and what you did on that horrible day and that most glorious day when you were delivered yourself up on the cross. Help us to remember daily as we remember you and we walk through this world to remember that it is our sin that you came and gave yourself up for. Help us to be invited to confess our sins and repent daily, that we would know the love and the mercy that you have bestowed upon us. Oh, glorious God and Father, we thank you that you've called us out of darkness. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've awakened us from the deadness of our hearts and called us into the fertile soil of your word in the community of your church as a living body. And we do it all in Christ Jesus' holy name. We love you and we praise you and we thank you forever and ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Let's do the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The night that Jesus was betrayed, he took some bread And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took a cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood that is poured out for you. Whenever you drink of it, do so in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we are eternally indebted to you for the sacrifice that you made on our behalf, that your love was so great, and that you stepped away from your throne, that you donned this human flesh only to have it killed. Have your blood shed in order that we may be justified before God the Father. We thank you for that gift of love, Lord. We cherish it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if that's relationship is something you don't have with Christ yet, please come find me after the service. I'd love to pray with you about it. We want good soil, right? We want that living seed growing inside us. So come find me. I'll pray with you about it. We'll get you baptized on the 17th. Looking forward to that. I invite you to stand one more time as you're able. Let's go to God in song and praise.
I pray today that the message spoke to you and that God filled your heart with love. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you do it now? Just pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins and God raised you from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and to come into my life. I want to trust you and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Can I pray for you now? Father, for those that have spoken this prayer, have reached out sincerely from their hearts saying this for the first time, Father, would you watch over them? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Would you protect them? Would you break those chains of sin that have held them down for their whole lives? And God, I lift them up to you and I ask that you bless them. I ask that you work in their lives. I ask, Father, that you use them for your will. As your will be done, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, folks, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, would you share that with us? Reach out to us at yeastcommunitychurch@gmail.com, or there's a link where you can send us a message at yeastcc.org. And I pray that you continue to grow in the faith. I pray that you continue to seek out the Lord and His guidance. And if you're local, we would love to have you come be part of our church family. And if you're watching this from another location, please seek out a church family that preaches from the Bible and that has the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the best way to help sustain you in your faith. Thank you for watching, and we hope to see you next week.